We're going to speak on a subject entitled, Remind Me. Peter is the writer of this word, and we'd like you to see verses 12 and 13. The Bible says, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." Father, thank you for this reading of your word. Thank you for the people who are here. We ask you, Lord, to have your way. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And you can be seated. I think the best way to start this is with this phrase. When the mind is not filled with godly things, something fills it. I'm convinced that we can all put on our Sunday duds and church duds, and we can look good and we can smell good and all of this. But there's no telling what's going on in there. I used to go to school, and I'd sit in that desk. And when that teacher was teaching, she would think I was the most attentive little sucker she had ever seen. Man, I would sit there and she would think I was the best student she knew because I was attentive. But in my mind, I was 100 miles away. I was back home. And I was running down that gravel dirt path. And I was holding my arms out and I was floating along with the wind. Man, I felt good. But she had a way of waking me up to reality. Because though she thought I was paying attention, because I was looking at her, she would think that I knew the answer. Folks, I didn't even know what the question was. And my, I'd be so embarrassed. When the mind is not filled with godly things, something fills it. I don't know if this is on or not. This one is. 1, 2, 1, 2. All right, good. How many of you has a past? Would you like to forget it sometimes? You know that little sneaky devil? Man, he loves to sneak in there and place something into your mind. Just about the time you're in church. Man, he loves to put something in there that just makes you think about that preacher. Well, man, that preacher's no better than I am. Oh, by the way, you are right. I'm not. I'm just an old sinner saved by the grace and mercy of Almighty God. And I'm nothing any better. I am nothing any worse. But you and I together, we can identify with each other because we know where we have come from, and we know that Almighty God is the only reason why we're here today. But I really pray and wish that I would do things more godly. Anybody with me? I wish that I would pray more. I wish I would read God's word more, and I wish I had a sweeter relationship with Almighty God. But that doesn't always happen, does it? With anybody? Sometimes it does, but sometimes it's not there. Why? Because our minds are not filled with the right things. So tonight, I do not come to any church to try and teach you something. I just want to preach what God has laid on my heart. And I am just like you. I'm just flesh and blood. But I know this, if tonight you will just listen to 4 points and about 24 sub-points. And we'll just try to reflect on those things which we know. By the way, you've been taught these. You know them. But you tell God where you stand. You tell God why you're not thinking clearly. You tell Him what's going on. Don't tell me. Don't get mad at the preacher. Tell God and let Him deal with that. First thing I want to remind you of is Jesus. I was telling your pastor, I did not know why this, I'm preaching this sermon, and I really don't, but I'm obedient. I can't get it out of my heart. So y'all just hang on. Here it comes. Jesus, He's God in the flesh. 100% God and 100% man. Woo! Hallelujah. No other man could do this. No one else could ever be 100% God and 100% man. Do you understand it? I don't. But I'm glad He did it. Woo! Hallelujah. Because, sister, you wouldn't have had the opportunity to lead someone to the Lord. Man, what a blessing. His birth was very unique. I was afraid, brother, you was going to tell me I was born of a virgin. I didn't know. Amen. No, I'm teasing you, really. Listen, hey, you can laugh, but don't you dare miss what I'm trying to get across here. Everybody, preacher, I'm not trying to make funnies here. I want people to understand that His birth was born of a virgin, and it was not of just a woman. It was a virgin conceived by the Holy Ghost of Almighty God. Woo! Hallelujah. People says, why do you get excited? Well, why don't you? Amen. Praise the Lord. These are things to get woo excited about. Yeah, but I'm not from Texas, someone said. Praise God, we don't have to be from a certain state, do we, to get excited. Then he lived his life healing people and doing the will of God in his life. And then he dies on a cruel cross. I think what really bothers me is that a lot of people when it doesn't realize that He died naked and shameful. That it was a naked and shameful death. And people try to put loincloth on Him, and I know why they do that, amen. But we know that He didn't. At least I don't see where naked means loincloth. You better hear me. This was a naked and a shameful death. And we better know what He did for you and I. Not only did He bear our sins, but He did something else, folks. He exposed Himself to the world. And let me tell you something. This was something that no man should have ever had to go through. He's buried. They put our precious Savior in a borrowed tomb because Well, I'll just say this, that he arose on the third day. When they came into that empty tomb, there was a reason for it. Are y'all familiar with the napkin? That it was folded? And you know why it was folded, don't you? And those Jews knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that because of that folded napkin, a lot of people folds his clothes, but I think they just dropped where they were at. I don't think they were folded, but I know he took time to fold this, and he did it because it was a sign. He's coming back. He's not finished. Woo! See, I am telling you, there are some things, if we will remember these things, there won't be room for any trash or garbage or dirt or Egypt's filth to get into our minds, and we can serve God with clarity and truth, and the vision will be focused on Him, and we'll be able to say, why am I doing this? Because I'm reminded of the right things. And we know He ascended and went to the right hand of His Father. Man, that's just awesome stuff. Number two, Roman numeral two. Roman numeral one was Jesus, if you're taking notes. Roman numeral two was His promises. And I've only got five, and the only reason is for the sake of time. But let me just run through these. I'll give you the scripture, and then tell you what it amounts to, and then you can look it up later. His promises, 1 John 1:9, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? What a promise. It's not, I'll do it maybe. No. He says, I'll do it. Matthew 19:26, with God all things are possible. What a promise. Hebrews 13:5, He never leaves us or forsakes us. Are you following this thought? Remind me. Are you following that, folks, people gets out into the world and they work every day shoulder to shoulder with some, work shoulder to shoulder with ungodly people. And you hear the filth and the trash and then wonder why you have a hard time having fun in church. What is fun? Worshiping God. That's fun for me. Praising Him. Lifting Him up. Getting edified by other children of God. Are you folks hot? I'm burning up. Amen. Thank you, preacher. We're in Roman numeral 2. John 14:2. Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us. John 14:3. He will come again. All great promises. Roman numeral 3. And you wonder why I'm going through this. You'll see in just a moment. Roman numeral 3. I want to be reminded of who I am. Of who I really am. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And in Ephesians 2:8-9, we're told that we're saved by grace through faith. So you might say that we are just sinners saved by grace. Whenever I remember that, then there is no way I can get lifted up or become proud because of my talent, which by the way, God gave me. There is no way I can say I'm a great piano player because it has nothing to do with Philip Crow. Whenever you think about the 160 songs, I've written about 158 or 57. Sister Crow has written two or three. And let me tell you something, folks, you put that all together and we could start saying, "Woo, look at me." Isn't that a great song? And it is. But the thing is, only because it points to Christ. We don't want the glory. We don't want the praise. We want Him to be lifted up. Why? Because we realize who we are. We don't care if you like us, if you think we're great, or if you think we are no good. It doesn't matter what you think. It only matters that we're obedient to do the will of God. And may I say, if you're reminded of the right things, you will have that same attitude too. Because it doesn't matter what other people think about you. It matters about your position and condition before an almighty God. Saved by the blood, amen. Praise His name. And given life, and that more abundantly. I'm getting excited. Y'all can't tell it, can you? Our duty, Roman numeral 4, our duty. I've got 8 points here, not 24. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Simple stuff. That's our duty. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen? How about Hebrews 10:25? Forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. I'm just giving you portions of them. Y'all understand that, right? Okay. 2 Corinthians 6:15-18. Simply speaks about coming out from among the world and be ye separate. A peculiar people. Oh, by the way, I've got people that says, "You're weird, Brother Crow." And you know what I tell them? Duh. Amen. The Word of God tells me I'm to be peculiar. It tells me I'm supposed to be different. I'm not supposed to act like everybody else. I'm supposed to be a good child of God. I'm supposed to lift Him up. I'm supposed to be godly and righteous, steadfast, unmovable in this present age. I'm supposed to have good works, amen. I'm supposed to be like God. I'm supposed to be like Jesus. I'm supposed to let the Holy Spirit of God lead me. By the way, if any of this comes as a surprise, but here is a warning in 1 John 4:1. Try the spirits. How about Luke 14:23? Go and compel them to come in. I know it's a parable, but you would know what I'm talking about, don't you? Bring them in. Titus 2:11-15. Look for Jesus. Luke 12:37-40. Be ready when He comes. That's 8 points. Oh, by the way, these are just starters. So much more I could show you. So much more I could lead you to. But I don't want to keep you late. What I want to do is to give you a closing. I want to first of all tell you this. When the mind is not filled with godly things, something fills it. And if you desire to be like Jesus Christ, I guarantee you, you're going to have to work at it. Because you're going to have to face a world out there that does not want you to be that way. And Satan is your enemy. And he roams this earth to and fro as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Oh, by the way, he's already got the ungodly world. So why should he go after them? Oh, by the way, you are his prey. He's after you. I want to be on my knees, prayerfully, spiritually speaking. I want to be in the presence of God as often as I can during the day so that my enemy, the devil, cannot get in. I want to be where God would have me be. I want to be reminded of the right things. And by the way, I get excited because people says, Brother Crow, you're just emotional. No, I'm excited. And the reason I am is because I have been in prayer. I have read God's word. I seek to be like Christ. So the Bible tells me it just passed me up, but I do know where it's at. I think I do. Y'all ever do that? No? But if I can't find it, believe me, I won't say anything else, but I found it. Galatians 5:24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. What I want you to do is now listen to a story. I want you to keep Galatians 5:24 in your heart. And I'm going to tell you a story now, and then I will let you go. My mama is one of the world's best bakers. When I was a child, she could bake cookies. Oh, those cookies. Chocolate chip cookies. Excuse me, I was regressing there, amen. But I know this, let me tell you something. Mama would make those cookies, and we lived on 500 acres. Us six children, I am the oldest. We could be scattered to all corners of that 500 acres. You let Mama start baking cookies, and that aroma filled the 500 acres. All of a sudden, around her table, bloop, 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 six little heads. Mama, 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 can I please have a cookie? My mama had two statements depending upon what time of day or what was happening. The first statement was, no, it will ruin your appetite. After my mama had given in, amen, she would say, or hear us say, Mama, can I have another cookie? After the third or fourth one, can I have another cookie? And she would say, no, honey, it will make you sick. So it will ruin your appetite and it will make you sick. My mama was a mean mama. Now, I'm not just telling this story to be telling a story. I want you to know it fits directly in with this. She had the audacity to take a cookie jar, take these freshly baked cookies with us six kids slobbering. Man, just blah, blah, blah. She put these cookies in that cookie jar. She put a lid on it. Then she'd grab the cookie jar and she'd put it in the highest cabinet she could find. I told you she was a mean mama. She pushed that cookie jar as far back as she could get it. I cannot tell you how many times Philip Crow almost broke his neck trying to get to that cookie jar. Not only for me, but for my siblings. God in His Word has said, stay out of the cookie jar of the world. Stay out of the world. Young people, older people, ancient, wrinkled up people, stay out of the world. It will make you sick. It will ruin your spiritual appetite. It's no good for you. Stay out of the world. But I'm afraid when Jesus comes again, there's going to be some who are going to have their hands or be found breaking their bodies, breaking their Christian testimony, trying to get to that cookie jar.